Chapter 10. Now, last week we moved right in there as the Lord, I'll tell you what, He's about His business, and He's about us, and He's about giving us the Word, and He's about allowing that Holy Ghost to work it effectually in them that believe. And so we saw in chapter 9 how this letter turned to the thoughts of Israel and Paul's heart so drawn, and what a vessel that God would touch and use. That one who was such a hardened Pharisee, and here he's the big softy. He has love, and he has love for his people, and love for people to receive the truth. And you could see how heartbroken he is, and see, that's what the love of Christ can do. When you're hard about things, that's probably the biggest sign you're not in harmony with the Lord. When you harden yourselves against the saints, you're not in harmony with God. When you can just disregard them, my heart goes out to people. And it's not just some. There's quite a few. And I would hope that we understand to not be entangled with the affairs of this life. This thing wants to be entangled with a lot of things here. Matter of fact, anything here. But I'll tell you what, we're brand new. Our citizenship's in heaven. A lot of times, it's not even the situations of this life. We can be so tied up in business. We can be tied up in family affairs. We can be tied up in a lot of things. I'll tell you what, you better be a prisoner of Jesus Christ and tied up in His love, or you're going to miss it. But I'll tell you, we're grateful. As the Lord revealed to us last week in chapter 9, bringing back to our attention how faithful He is to the Word of God, and how beautifully true the Word of God is. And God revealed so sweetly His favor and His grace to Israel, how He turned to them, He loved them, and they weren't mighty in number. He chose them because He loved them. And how beautiful to know that. And God, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He did not choose us because we were mighty. He chose us because He loved us. And He loved us so He saw us in Christ. And that's how much He loved us. And we're thankful for this and seeing this marvelous plan come forth. And think about how everything was to the Jew first. Now, we know that in the promises of God that we talked about last week. But think about how Jesus Himself, as a man, He came as a Jew. Don't let that pass you by. I mean, really understand that. And then the disciples, well, you know what? They were Jews. So His first disciples were Jews. And you think about those that were first filled with the Holy Ghost. They were Jews. Then it came to the Gentiles. And then you think about the bridal message. Who was that revealed to first? Saul. Paul, the Jew. There you go. So it is always going to be that way. And yet what we saw was, even though it was that miraculous and that mighty in the Word of God, Israel turned away. And they turned away. They rejected the only way of righteousness. And the only way of righteousness is grace through faith. And grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And most today continue on in that blindness. And it's very great unbelief, seeking to establish and to seek righteousness by the works of the law. Now, that's not just a problem for Israel. That's a man problem. And that's a problem that happens even with our flesh. As Christians, we can try to find favor with God, with our flesh. But and I was thinking how oftentimes it's disguised in what we call a good life. Oftentimes this establishing our own righteousness is done by joining a church. But the Lord, over and over, righteousness comes one way, and that is by faith in Jesus Christ, period. That's it. You're justified by faith. Now let's go on here to chapter 10. And we're going to see Israel now. Paul spoke of Israel in the 9th chapter, of how God established them and favored them and gave them all the promises in the Old Testament. Now we're going to see Israel in Paul's time, and that same time of Paul's time really is today. They haven't changed. So let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 4 of chapter 10. Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God." See, Paul could bear that record. They have a zeal of God. And they sure do today, don't they? But not according to knowledge. "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes." I'll tell you what, amen. You better thank Christ Jesus for that, because he is the end of the law for righteousness. I love that. It's like the end of the road. It's over. And again, who is it for? To them that believe. As it says in Romans 3:20, you remember back there how beautiful that statement is? I tell you, you can talk to those that are caught up in probably 90% of the world's religions, and here you go. It says in Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. It's so profoundly apparent. It's so clear to the light. We're justified by faith, and I sure get excited about that. But as we just read here in verses 1 through 4, we just saw so clearly, there is the mistake of all men that reject God. It was right there in verse 3. They seek to establish their own righteousness. When you go out to seek and establish your own righteousness, you have rejected God. You're rejecting God's word. The only righteousness, praise God, is in his Son. The only righteousness, praise God, that we can ever be is by the blood of the cross. Rejecting the blood of Jesus, oh my, that's the failure of it all. And rejecting the blood of Jesus leads to one thing: death, hell, and the lake of fire. And you might as well know it, and there's but one way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by him. Now, Paul here, as we see, he's yearning specifically at this time, and what he's saying is for Israel. But it's no longer Israel as a nation, brothers and sisters. He's longing for the individuals that will give their heart to God in Israel. See, because Paul knows that Israel is a nation. He knows this. He knows the word of God now. He knows that Israel is a nation. They will only turn late into the tribulation unto God. So the message of Jesus Christ, praise the Lord, and the way of salvation is to the individuals that are in Israel at this time, as well as to any man. It's there for all by the precious blood of Jesus. We thank the Lord. So we understand when we pray for Israel. Yes, I understand that we can pray in a sense for protection in our hearts or things of that nature. But what we're praying for when we're praying for Israel is we're praying for the expediting of the coming of the Lord. That's what you're praying for. I thank God for that. We're praying that, Lord, if it be, come quickly, wrap this up. Here we go. And we're excited to see you. But Paul could testify here, as he said, he could testify of the zeal. See, no one had more zeal than Saul. Remember him telling, as far as keeping the law, there wasn't anybody that came before him observing that. No one had more zeal than Paul, but because that he denied faith, because Paul, I should say Saul at that time, when his name was Saul, because he denied faith, his first place zeal made him the first place sinner. That's why he could say, "I am the chief of sinners," because he had the first place zeal of seeking his own righteousness. See, the hardest working of the flesh that ever lived was Saul. He worked harder in the flesh than anybody. That's why he was the chief of sinner. He was trying to uphold the law in any way, shape, or form that he could, but he couldn't. He was the most self-righteous to keep the law, but it was just in that he was the most intent in rejecting Jesus Christ as the way and the only way to righteousness by faith. He was the rejecter of the blood. And that is exactly where it was. But isn't it amazing that the Lord chose? He said, well, that's my guy. That's the chosen vessel. That's the one I'm going to use. He's the most rotten, the most filthy rag one there could ever be. He magnifies exactly what's putrid to my Father and to me. He's the one that magnifies the most hatred for my blood. He's the one that magnifies the greatest rejecting of my grace. And that's the one I'm going to call. I've chosen him as my vessel to bring forth that magnificent mystery of Christ in the church. Amen. Amen. That's exciting. I get excited for me about that and you. Now, here's the righteousness of faith clearly made known. Let's go ahead and pick it up. Verse 5. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart the man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I love that. I love that. I'll tell you what. See, he's telling you here, you know what? I've already come down. I gave up my throne. Jesus Christ was made one of us, obedient completely unto death. And you know what? He died. And he died and he descended into the midst of hell. And he led captivity captive and he rose again. And then he ascended up on high to the right hand of the Father. It is finished. He is risen and he is seated. Praise God. So in that, there is nothing left for us to do but believe. Nothing. That's it. Praise God. It is finished, isn't it? It is finished. Thank you, Lord. All he now wants us is to grow in grace. Grow in grace. All of that wonderful, finished, undeserved, perfect, complete, exact, the most inspiring and encouraging and all-powerful finishing there could ever be. He just wants us to grow in that grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God. That's how you grow up. Not by doing, but acknowledging, thanking the Lord for what he's done. And then understanding in what he's finished, what the purpose of all that is. And then understanding the word of God, praise God, and that depth of the word of his grace to understand the inheritance that he's given you so freely in this finished work. And the magnificence of all the power in that finished work. Praise God. And then the provisions in the finished work. Because the finished work also said, I must ascend. Because if I don't ascend, I can't send that Comforter. That Spirit of Truth. That Holy Ghost. Who now will take the things of mine and show them unto you. He'll take those things that I've shown you. All the things that I've given. All the things of mine are yours. But once again, we must know it. And only the Holy Ghost can take this word and take it into those dimensions of the Lord's heart that are the deepest, the most dear, the intimate things that the Lord wants for you. Praise God. So, hallelujah in what he's given. So, the message, the truth, it says is nigh unto all. We are without excuse. Yes. It says in Colossians that Paul's gospel has been preached to every creature under heaven. Yes, it has. And that has gone forth. His death and resurrection is made known to all. But what must be known and confessed is your faith. And your faith in his death and resurrection for you. And that is the only way to righteousness. And nothing else. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Now, verse 9 of what we just read is probably, you ever want to lead someone to Jesus, what a verse. Isn't that wonderful? Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in thy heart that God hath raised Jesus from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. John 3:16, it's right there, isn't it? So many ways. It goes on down there and says, you know what? Just call upon the name of the Lord. Just like that thief on the cross. This isn't something that is some, you know, moment of drama and moment of, oh, everybody's just got to pay attention. Let me tell you something. Nobody was paying attention except the only one that was paying attention. And that was the wonderful Lamb of God on that cross. And all that man had to say was, remember me. And Jesus said, oh, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Oh, I thank the Lord for that. And understand, that's all he wants. All he wants us to do is to call upon him. Not to get ready and not to do all these things to somehow present something to him. Just call on him. Call on him. He'll do all the readying. He really will. He just wants us to surrender. And how beautiful to begin to really understand that. But see, really rejoice in the words that he says here in these verses. And I love that. Confess and believe. See, the pattern, the way into more faith, it never changes. It's confess and believe. It doesn't get more complicated. You know him. You hear the truth. You hear the word of God. I love that. It's just like Herbie. I tell you, it's exact. It's perfect. Every time he would hear the word of God, and that was just the grace of God that was with him. He heard about salvation. Well, he confessed. Well, I need that. And bam, I was saved. See, that's the confession. I need that. That's a confession right there. Just keep saying, I need that. And you know what? He'll do it. He'll bring that faith, won't he? He'll bring that faith. You keep hearing the word of God, as Herbie did. He heard about the infilling of the Holy. Well, I need that. God brought him the faith, and there he was believing, and bang, as he said, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then hearing the bridal truth, the same thing. I need that. Don't you think that was the same way Rebecca, she confessed? She heard all those things. She was receiving that. And what was the confession? I will go. Now, what was the expression of her believing? She went. She got on that camel and she went. She left. But I thank God how sweet that is. When Paul's gospel is quickened in your heart, praise God, just say, I want it. Amen. I want that. I'll go. Praise the Lord. He'll put that wonderful believing in there and that yielding, praise God. And hallelujah, he'll take you on. Now, in verse 11, take that to heart. Quit letting the enemy cause you to be ashamed. Don't go venturing off in unbelief. This is such a beautiful time we live in. If you draw into the word, and it's the same in any time, but especially in this time, man thinks they're so great. Man thinks he's so mighty. Man thinks he's so smart. Man thinks he's so rich. We have the richest, the smartest, the most technology, all and all and all of this. But the more you draw into the word of God, the more you see. No, that's foolishness to God. All of those things you're saying right there, we don't even have to go outside of Romans chapter 1. God said that's exactly what you'd say. And not only exactly what you'd say, God said that's exactly what you would do. That when you knew him and you know he's God, you didn't give him glory. And neither were you thankful. I believe this is the most thankless people there's ever been on the face of this earth. I really do. And that's why I believe the coming of the Lord is so nigh. There's just not a thought. There's all these forms of godliness, all this form of man's righteousness. Think of that. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. And they're doing it today, aren't they? What I feel is what I do. Well, that's any of us. We know that. That could be that way. But God, and what a faithful God that causes us to will and to do of his good pleasure. We thank him for this. But don't venture off in unbelief. And one thing I'll encourage us, brothers and sisters, remember this. Unbelief to us is we can get very disappointed in our own selves. Brand new is brand new. Amen? Let's never forget, and let's always understand, you got two natures. Yes, you do. You got two. And I always love that when people say, oh, well, he was born sweet or she was born sweet. No, they weren't. They were born with that old, not sweet nature. The new man's the only sweetness they got. And you yield to that, and that'll be something. And you know what? In that, let's grow up. Let's grow up. We're kings. We need to be mature, and we need to quit being like children. And know this. The gospel is and was for all men at all times. The gospel is and was for all men at all times. I love that statement. That's Sister Bodie. And it's very true. Because it tells us that in Timothy. I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. It was for all men at all times. And I am thankful. From Adam to us, the blood has always been there. The blood has always been there for us to believe in the blood. Always believe in that wonderful, wonderful, precious lamb that was given. It's always been there. Jesus Christ, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He's always been there for salvation. It's never changed. It must be the blood. And the Lord is rich to all them that what? That work? All them that do all these good things? Nope, to all them that just go to church all the time? No, he's rich to them that call upon him. Always never forget going into that prison that one time and visiting some of the inmates in there. And I remember that guard, oh, what a piece. Just a piece of evil is what he was. And I remember he said, just trying to mock me and mock them. Oh, yeah, they always get God when they come in here. And I remember right out of my mouth, I said, well, at least they get God. Amen. And that's the truth. And see, this is what it is. He's nigh to them that call upon him. And I thank God for anybody who calls upon the name of Jesus. And you better not size them up. You better just be thankful. Verse 14, it says there, how then shall they call on him? Now see, we were right there just a couple Sundays ago, weren't we? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? This is the pattern for all believing. This is the pattern for all growth. It must be taught, it must be heard, and it must be taken. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, we hear it is no reckon and yield, but I'm going to tell you, it must be preached, and you need a preacher, and you need a teacher. And it's so sad. I keep hearing from some, well, I'm just going to teach myself. Now, you need to go study to show yourself approved unto him, and you need to search those scriptures for yourself because it's a personal thing. But I'll tell you one thing. We need a teacher. We need to be taught the things of God, and we need to be listening, and we need to be growing. Because if you're not growing, you get stagnant. And I'll tell you one thing about stagnant water that doesn't have anything flowing into it or flowing out. It stinks. I need say more, but I won't. Okay. Now, so whether it's salvation, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, or the bride for Jesus, it's the same pattern of hearing and believing. It's not works, brothers and sisters. It's all grace. It's not strife. There's joy and peace in believing. And there's something about the joy and peace in believing. I love the joy. You know, joy and peace is enlarged in me as we believe the Lord together. You know that? There's nothing more. I love to see my brethren growing in the truth. There isn't anything greater. It grows me in the truth. The more you take in the truth by the grace of God, it inspires and encourages me on. I thank the Lord. I'm telling you, there's times, and I'm sure most are cognizant of it, but to get hugged, I'm talking about with a holy hug. And you just know, there's just that outpouring of wealth, of the love of Christ, of because it becomes the realization and enlightenment of who we are. Who we are in Christ. And the thankfulness of God. You know, when you're right, even in a natural family, when one is esteemed, everybody is joyful. Everybody's encouraged. How much more so in the things of God when you see lights going off in the meeting, you know? Young man right there, I know that's going off in you, honey. And there isn't anything greater than that to me. Yeah, you. You don't need to be looking around. So, but those are the things that are real. And we pray for one another because we know it's grace. We know left to us, we'll leave. But confident in grace, it's amazing how you'll stay with the stuff. And we thank God for that. We need to love one another more in it, don't we? Praise His name. Now verse 15 says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." And I'm so thankful, I really am. We have such beautiful feet in this place. Amen. Praise God we do. I thank the Lord that this is a ministering group of saints, and we minister the word of God. And yes, we do have ones that God has called divinely to preach the word and teach the word of God. We're thankful for those things. But I was rejoicing too, thinking about this. And I've kind of opened up a little bit. I never felt very pretty growing up. I was chubby. I was awkward. All these different things. And kind of just wore clothes that disguised me. And were comfortable in different things. But I remember I was sitting there in a chair, and this certain woman was there, and they'd kind of even been critical of me in certain ways, and I know they didn't really care the way I looked, but I had my feet sitting there, and she said, "You know, you have the most beautiful feet." And then the fellow that was there, that has been very rude to me in the past, said, "You know, you're right. Those feet could even be in a magazine." And I got to thinking, you think the Lord may have been talking to me? "Son, I gave you the only thing that matters. I've got beautiful feet for you." Well, may not mean something to somebody, but it meant a lot to me. And it does today, because I know that the Lord was thinking about that. I wasn't thinking about it that time, but I know God was thinking about those things. And as He brought me into that smile that, you know, "Lord, You're always thinking about me. You're thinking about me." Hallelujah. And now we go on with this taught, heard, and taken. How about verse 17? "Then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Your faith will never increase unless you hear the word of God. Your faith will never increase unless you hear the word of God. And your faith will never increase without hearing more of the word of God. And your faith will never go deeper without hearing, yea, the deep things of the word of God. Amen. Amen. If you're fed milk, that's where your faith will be. If by the grace of God you'll avail yourself to hear the deep things of God, your faith will go deep. You'll have a set apart faith. The Word of God says even the most holy faith, that set apart faith, praise God, that faith that goes unto him without the camp. And so it never changes. If you want to grow, you've got to hear. You want to quit being rocked to and fro? Hear the Word of God. And quit having your ears tickled and your flesh thrilled. And that's the truth. I tell you, I do. I have some sweet, we have, and I should say they're yours too. And I know you know the ones I'm talking about. You probably have some neighbors and those that are close to you. And they're saved. And they're sweet. And you love them. And they might even come to church here once in a while with you on something. And they come in here and they might even say, "No, that was the most marvelous time I ever had. Never experienced love like that in my entire life." But then you don't see them again for 3 years except over here four doors down on your street waving at you. "Hey, how you doing?" And they keep going back to the place where their ears are tickled and where the flesh gets chills on it. And then when life and the rubber hits the road, they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. And then that milk only strengthens you to go so far. And then you don't understand. You start to hit things in life and you're wondering why. I tell you, by the grace of God, and I thank the Lord, I know why. Amen. And the Word of God lets me know why. I know his plan. I know his ways. Thank you, Jesus. And it's not because I'm special. It's because this Word of God tells you. And it's there for everybody. It's not hidden. It's just right there. And by the grace of God, if we would just take it. But see, we need the Word of God. If you want to win Christ, praise God, it's right here. It's right here. It's the whole counsel of God, isn't it? I thank the Lord that I go to a place for all these years that nothing was withheld. There wasn't a thing withheld. The whole counsel of God was always preached. And I thank the Lord. He's given me a heart. There's no other way. Grace has confirmed that to my heart. I don't want to hear anything else. I don't want to go wandering off anywhere else. I don't want to fellowship anywhere else. I thank the Lord that the theme here, the banner over us, is bridal love. What we come in here to gather for is to be ready for the rapture, to be ready for the bridegroom. I thank God for that. There's a readiness. It was just like those that gathered in that upper room. They were ready to receive what God had told them. Think about how that was preached in all of those. Yeah. I just thank the Lord he's given me faith to believe it. I thank the Lord that I gather with those. I don't want to gather with those that don't have that faith. I want to be around those with like precious faith. Because I know that needs to be encouraged in my life. Think about the Apostle Paul. He desired the Word of God, didn't he? He said, "You know, it's cold. You bring me my coat. But you know, if you forget my coat, bring me the Word of God." But he also, in bringing him the Word of God, he wanted them to come to minister the Word of God to him. He wanted that fellowship, didn't he? He wanted that. God help us to always thank him for that heart. Get into that most holy, set apart faith. As we close this up, what's so sweet is not long from now, because we know the Lord's coming is nigh, Israel's going to awaken. Israel's going to awaken. Yes. It's sad to see Israel right now. It is. They have such a wonderful, wonderful Messiah. But when that unfaithful wife of God returns to him, and Israel, I just love it, they'll be out there evangelizing the nations. Won't that be sweet? They'll be knocking on the door. "Do you know Jesus?" Oh, thank you, Lord. His word's true. And that'll be the time, praise God, as we know, that's called the millennium. See, that's the kingdom age. When we get to the millennium time, that's the kingdom age. That's the time when that wonderful word will be preached to every creature. I thank the Lord for that. It's so sad that I really would venture to guess probably 99% of Christianity is so mixed up. They don't know the word of God. They believe in preaching the kingdom right now. And it's a shame of the lack of that understanding. It's a shame. Because it's very simple. When you just read the Gospels and you understand that Jesus Christ has not taken the throne as God yet. Those things will not be until Jesus Christ takes the throne as God. That's it. When he takes the throne as God, that'll be in that millennial time. And that will be that 1,000-year reign and all of those things that they want to be practicing right now. That's the time. That's the time of the great revival. That's the time when that preaching will go out to the nations in that regard. This is the church age. This is the time that Christ Jesus is seeking that namesake. This is the time and the age that Jesus Christ will have his wife. Verse 18. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Esaias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And it is a very, very sad time for Israel. But I have to say, I'm so glad for me. Because I was found that sought him not. He was made manifest to me, and I didn't even ask. And Israel, all the day long, he stretched forth his hand to a disobedient nation. And I say this as we close this chapter. It's amazing how great his love is to his chosen. Take that for yourself. As God went after Israel, think about how he went after them. He gave them everything. He gave them every promise. All of the inheritance theirs. They were that nation. There was none other. He chose them because he loved them. Now think about how much a better thing for you. How much more purpose for you. How much more intent he is for you. Huh? Now, that's the passion, brothers and sisters, that pursues us. That is his bridal yearning heart for us. Yes, an exceeding great and precious promise. Aren't we glad, brethren? Aren't we glad? Read that 20th verse right there. I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. That's me. That's you. Aren't you grateful to God? You understand? You are the treasure. Vessels of mercy. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and be dismissed.